Join Wondery Plus to listen to Business Wars 1 week early and ad-free in the Wondery app. Download the Wondery app in your Apple or Google Play mobile app store today. It's July 2013, and in the SpaceX headquarters in Hawthorne, California, CEO Elon Musk is on a call with NASA. There's an incredulous look on his face.
Really? Another bidder? Who else would even want 39A?
39A is a launch pad at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It launched Apollo 13's ill-fated moon mission and the first space shuttle mission in 1981. It also launched the last shuttle mission in 2011. But 39A's glory days are gone. Now bushes invade the pathways, weeds sprout through the cracked concrete, and rust corrodes the scaffolding. NASA is spending $100,000 a month just to maintain the site, and the agency wants someone else to take it on. Musk jumps at the chance. The site has a pad built for launching the largest rockets. It's ideal for the giant Falcon Heavy rocket that SpaceX is developing, not to mention the symbolism of SpaceX inheriting NASA's most historic launch pad is just too alluring to ignore. But someone else also has his eye on the prize Musk assumed would be his own. Musk's expression turns to anger as the NASA official reveals the identity of the rival bidder.
Bezos? Blue Origin hasn't even sent a toothpick into space. What do they need the launch pad for?
Then the official drops another bombshell. Blue Origin isn't working alone. The United Launch Alliance is also throwing its weight behind Blue Origin's bid. The alliance is made up of Boeing and Lockheed, and it handles most of the U.S. government's rocket launches, so the alliance's support carries weight.
This is a joke. You can't seriously be entertaining this, can you?
The official replies that NASA must give Blue Origin's bid serious consideration. Musk hangs up and fumes. After years of a standoff, the Cold War between SpaceX and Blue Origin has just gone nuclear. But if Blue Origin and the United Launch Alliance want to fight, Musk is sure he has a winning battle strategy, positioning himself as the man with America's best interests at heart. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. In the last episode, NASA retired its space shuttle, leaving the United States dependent on Russia to send astronauts into orbit. And SpaceX began deliveries to the International Space Station. Now, after 15 years of near silence, Blue Origin is getting ready to show its hand. This is Episode 5, Space War. It's September 2013. In SpaceX headquarters in Hawthorne, California, Elon Musk checks a new email from the Space News website. They're asking for comment on the latest twist in his battle for Launchpad 39A. 3 weeks ago, NASA was poised to give SpaceX the lease, but then Blue Origin hit back. It filed a complaint with the Government Accountability Office over NASA's decision to give SpaceX exclusive control of the launch pad without opening it up to bids. Until the Accountability Office makes a decision, NASA is barred from handing SpaceX the keys. United Launch Alliance has also been at work in D.C. They're rallying representatives on Capitol Hill who oppose NASA's plan to give SpaceX exclusive access to the historic launch pad. Now, Space News wants Musk's reaction to the latest developments. Musk frowns and types. This action is a phony blocking tactic, and an obvious one at that. Blue Origin has not yet created a reliable suborbital spacecraft, despite 10 years of development. I can't say whether Blue Origin's actions stem from malice, but no such doubts exist about United Launch Alliance's motivation. Musk pauses. A sly smile creeps on his face. It's time to call Bezos's bluff. He keeps typing. If Blue Origin somehow shows up in the next 5 years with a vehicle that can dock with the space station, we will gladly accommodate their needs. And then, a final flourish. But frankly, I think we are more likely to discover unicorns dancing in the flame duct. With a triumphant smile on his face, Musk hits send. In December 2013, the Government Accountability Office rejects Blue Origin's complaints, and SpaceX finally gets its hands on Launchpad 39A. It's SpaceX 1, Blue Origin and the United Launch Alliance 0. And Russia's about to give Musk a way to get revenge on Blue Origin and the Alliance. It's March 2014, and in the former Soviet Republic of Ukraine, Russia's on the march.
And next, we turn tonight to the tension rising around the world as Russian President Vladimir Putin casts his shadow across the boundary of Europe and Russia. Tonight, his troops are holding firm in a corner of Ukraine known as Crimea.
This is a Russian invasion, the U.S. says. It has no doubt these are Russian forces and has demanded their immediate withdrawal.
But Putin doesn't withdraw. Instead, he annexes Crimea. With tensions rising and Russia now able to jam GPS satellite signals, the Pentagon feels a new urgency to shore up its access to space. But when it hands the United Launch Alliance billion-dollar contracts without soliciting rival bids, SpaceX launches a counterattack. It's March 2014, and in Washington, D.C., the Senate Subcommittee on Defense is probing the United Launch Alliance's monopoly on military space launches. Alliance CEO Michael Gass and Elon Musk are giving evidence. Gass is invited to speak first. The bald Alliance chief notes his company's unrivaled record of 68 successful rocket launches and then warns against open competition for national security space work.
Relying on commercial demand to enable national security carries huge risks, both to the rocket supplier and to its government customers.
But Musk is out to draw blood. When he's invited to speak, he starts by attacking the Alliance's sky-high prices.
When the merger between Boeing and Lockheed's business occurred, the merger promised in the press release $150 million of savings. Instead, there were billions of dollars of cost overruns.
Musk tells the senators that the Pentagon pays $380 million for the average Alliance launch. A Falcon 9 launch would cost a mere $100 billion. Senator Richard Shelby steps in, pointing out that military work involves substantial extra costs that SpaceX doesn't face in the civilian market.
It seems like your price estimates compare apples and oranges.
But Musk has an answer for that, too.
All of the numbers I was referring to are including the Air Force overhead.
Then, Musk lunges at another Alliance weak spot. its dependence on Russian rocket engines.
Our Falcon 9, Falcon Heavy launch vehicles are truly made in America. The Atlas V cannot possibly be described as providing assured access to space for our nation when supply of the main engine depends on President Putin's permission.
The alliance chief scrambles to reassure senators that the organization has stockpiles of Russian engines and could manufacture the engines itself if necessary. But the damage is done. It's bad enough America can't even send astronauts to the International Space Station without Moscow's help. But now, Putin controls the engines needed to send military satellites into orbit. Musk leaves feeling victorious, but the Pentagon isn't listening. The next day, it hands another 7 contracts to the alliance without soliciting rival bids. It's April 2014, and in Washington, D.C., Elon Musk is in the back of a sedan heading to a meeting. With him are 2 advisors who have asked Musk to make an urgent call.
Elon, the lawsuit you wanted prepared over the Pentagon's latest United Launch Alliance mission is ready. We just need confirmation you really want to go through with suing the Department of Defense.
Musk leans his head back against the headrest and closes his eyes. The advisors wait in silence. They've seen him do this before, mentally retreating to game out major decisions. They wait quietly. They know better than to interrupt. Musk runs through the options. SpaceX has spent many years and millions of dollars trying to get clearance to bid for military contracts. Suing the Pentagon could derail everything. But then again, he feels bullied. The United Launch Alliance has been trying to snuff him out from the start. The thought of bowing down to this monopoly repulses him. Then there's the geopolitical angle. He might be South African, but he loves America. He can't stand the idea of his adopted nation being at Russia's mercy. And who else but SpaceX can solve that problem? The car pulls to a stop outside the venue for Musk's next meeting. The advisors glance at their watches. Musk doesn't move. They wait. Then, Musk opens his eyes.
File the lawsuit.
And with that, Musk exits the car and heads to his meeting. In the struggle between SpaceX and the Alliance, suing the Pentagon is an act of war. Musk accuses the Alliance of lining Russia's pockets. The Alliance accuses SpaceX of threatening national security by trying to bypass the Pentagon certification process. But the Alliance is feeling the heat, and its owners, Boeing and Lockheed Martin, take action. Alliance Chief Michael Gass announces a sudden retirement, and Lockheed executive Tory Bruno takes his place. Bruno is a soft-spoken engineer who knows the company needs to move with the times. His directive is crystal clear. Get the Alliance out of this mess and find a way to stop the SpaceX threat. And he knows just who to call for help. It's summer 2014, and Bruno's hosting a news conference in Washington, D.C. He's smiling gamely at the reporters from the National Press Club. And that's because of the guy sitting next to him, Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos. Bruno leans towards his microphone.
I am now here, very excited and proud to tell you that we have selected Blue Origin and Jeff Bezos to be our partners going forward with their very innovative and creative rocket engine technology for our future family lift.
And Bezos has an offer meant to silence SpaceX's criticisms of the Alliance. In return for an undisclosed investment, Blue Origin will now supply the Alliance with its all-American BE-4 rocket engines. No more reliance on Russian rocket engines. Bezos puts on his reading glasses and beams with pride as he gives the reporters the lowdown on Blue Origin's BE-4 engine.
The BE-4 engine that we're talking about here is a remarkable machine. It's 550,000 pounds of thrust. It has a very low recurring cost and low life cycle cost. Cost to space is a very important factor. The BE-4 uses commercially available fuel. It's liquefied natural gas. It's reusable, and it's built and tested and designed and engineered 100% in the United States.
It seems like a knockout blow. SpaceX's attack on the Alliance's Russian-made rockets have just brought its biggest enemies closer together. But Blue Origin's BE-4 engine won't be ready for another 4 years. And that means Musk can still break the Alliance's iron grip on the Pentagon's frequent rocket launches. A few months later, SpaceX and the U.S. Air Force reach a settlement. SpaceX agrees to drop its lawsuit. In return, the Air Force agrees to open up more launches to competition and to get SpaceX through the certification process as fast as possible. It's not a total win for Musk, but the days when the Alliance had the Pentagon to itself are over. It's morning on Halloween 2014, and 50,000 feet above the Mojave Desert, a huge white mothership flies through the cloudless skies. Clamped to its belly is the tiny, sleek VSS Enterprise, Virgin Galactic's prototype Spaceship II rocket plane. Inside the Enterprise, pilots Peter Siebold and Michael Alsbury do the final checks ahead of today's test flight.
Caution and warning lights? All out.
It's been 8 years since Richard Branson started selling tickets on his space line for $250,000 a seat. Back then, Branson promised his rocket rides would begin within a couple of years. But getting his space plane off the ground has proven harder and more expensive than he ever imagined. Now, $500 million later, there's light at the end of the tunnel. The Enterprise is making solid progress in test flights, and today will mark its fourth rocket-powered flight. The pilots ready themselves as the ground control radios in.
SCAT 2-1, you're ready for release. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release.
The Enterprise drops from the mothership and plummets to Earth. Then Siebold gives the order.
Fire!
Alsbury ignites the rocket engine. The Enterprise surges forward, pinning the pilots into their seats. Siebold yells in glee as the rocket plane goes supersonic. And that's when Alsbury unlocks the rocket plane's rotating wings. But he's too early. The wings move up, catching the air. The rocket plane flips in mid-flight. Siebold feels enormous G-forces pressing against him. He hears the Enterprise ripping apart. The air rushes out of his lungs, and then everything goes black. You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. Virgin Galactic pilot Peter Siebold opens his eyes. All he sees is a spinning vortex of blue and brown. Freezing wind blasts his face. The air is thin. He can barely breathe. Suddenly he realizes he's no longer in the cockpit of the Enterprise. Instead, he's 25,000 feet above the desert, strapped into his seat and falling fast. He reaches for his seatbelt. His arm hurts like hell. He grimaces through the pain and unclips himself. As the seat tumbles away, he stretches out into a free-fall position to slow his descent. Then, he blacks out again. 3,000 miles away on his private Caribbean island, Richard Branson smiles as another email from Virgin Galactic CEO hits his inbox. He opens it, eager for news on today's test flight. He reads it in horror. Bad day. Spaceship seems to be lost. Status of the pilots unknown. Branson feels sick. He stares at the words in shock and then replies, So sorry. On my way. Above the Mojave, Siebold wakes with a jolt. He's still falling, but more slowly now. He looks up to see his red parachute has deployed automatically. Thank God. Siebold tries moving his arm to steer, but it won't respond. He looks down. The ground's coming up fast and it's covered in thorn bushes. He braces for impact. The medics find Siebold in bad shape. He's covered in blood, his arm is broken in four places, and there's a shard of fiberglass stuck in his left eye. But he's the lucky one. Amid the wreckage of the Enterprise, the emergency crews find co-pilot Michael Alsbury dead in his seat. Several hours later, Branson's private jet arrives outside Virgin Galactic's hangar in the Mojave Desert. He heads straight into it. Inside, he finds Virgin Galactic's grief-stricken team. They're distraught, and their eyes are red with tears. Branson needs to say something to help hold them together. Today was tough, horrible, tragic. But you know, I don't believe Michael or Peter would want us to give up. You're all dedicated, and you've built a beautiful craft. And I know we will come out the other side of this. But right now, what I think we all need is to have the biggest hug in the world. The team embraces. The tragedy will set Virgin Galactic back by years. But Branson's message is clear. They're down, but not out.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have liftoff of Falcon 9.
It's June 28th, 2015, and in Florida, SpaceX's latest Falcon 9 rocket has just blasted off from Cape Canaveral. On top of the rocket is a Dragon capsule loaded with supplies for the International Space Station. But this launch is about more than that. It's about making history. SpaceX wants this rocket to become the first rocket to go to space, return, and successfully land on Earth, instead of crashing into the ocean. It's the perfect 44th birthday present for Elon Musk. The Falcon shoots through the clouds like a javelin, but in a fuel tank, there's a steel strut. Instead of using an expensive aerospace-grade strut, SpaceX opted for a cheaper industrial-grade alternative. It's supposed to withstand 10,000 pounds of pressure, but it breaks at less than 2,000. With the strut broken, helium floods into the liquid oxygen fuel tank, building up pressure to critical levels. Without warning, the Falcon 9 explodes into a puff of white smoke. Debris rains down. The Dragon capsule ejects safely, but it lacks the software to deploy its parachutes. It crashes hard into the Atlantic, destroying it and its cargo. It's SpaceX's first failed launch in 7 years, and it does more than just ruin Musk's birthday. The explosion undermines SpaceX's attempts to prove its reliability to the Pentagon. It also prompts NASA and the FAA to ground the Falcon 9, pending investigation. That faulty strut cost SpaceX $250 million. And Blue Origin is about to rub salt into the wound. It's November 2015 on a test range in West Texas. After 15 years of slow and steady progress, Blue Origin's about to make its mark. On the launch pad is the company's New Shepard rocket. It's a fat white tube that stands 56 feet tall and is capped with a bulbous dome-shaped capsule. 7 months ago, New Shepard reached the edge of space. Today, its mission is to reach space, eject the capsule, and fly home. In the control room, Jeff Bezos watches the countdown like an excited kid.
Command engine start. 2, 1, ignition and liftoff.
New Shepard shoots up into the sky. Bezos edges forward in his seat as his rocket goes supersonic.
Approaching Max-Q.
New Shepard passes through the height of maximum resistance and flies up 62 miles, the official borderline of space. The capsule that Blue Origin hopes will one day carry tourists detaches, and New Shepard starts its return. Bezos paces the control room as New Shepard free-falls through the skies over West Texas.
Engine start. We have thrust.
Above the desert, New Shepard's navigation system deftly handles the 100-mile-an-hour crosswinds and uses its adjustable fins to stabilize its descent. Then, it deploys the spider-like landing legs at its base and gently floats toward the concrete launch pad, kicking up a huge cloud of dust.
50 feet, 7 feet per second.
The dust clears to reveal New Shepard standing tall on the launch pad.
Touchdown!
The room goes wild. Bezos' eyes well up at the sight of his charred but ready-to-reuse rocket on the launch pad. Shortly after, New Shepard's capsule safely lands by parachute nearby. New Shepard has just become the first rocket to successfully reach space and return. The age of reusable rockets has arrived. And it's a game changer. 70% of the cost of a rocket comes from the booster that's usually discarded after launch. The next day, Bezos logs on to Twitter. It's time for his first ever post on Elon Musk's favorite social media site.
The rarest of beasts, a used rocket. Control landing not easy, but done right can look easy.
Hundreds of miles away, Musk scowls at Bezos' tweet and fires back with a tweet noting that New Shepard is merely suborbital. The Falcon 9's an orbital rocket that's much bigger and faster than New Shepard, and therefore harder to land. But no amount of whataboutism can change the reality. For the first time in this space race, Blue Origin's beaten SpaceX to the punch. But Musk isn't a guy who settles for second place. And he's determined not to let Bezos leapfrog him again. On the next episode, Blue Origin learns to relaunch, Boeing and SpaceX race to send astronauts into orbit, and Virgin Galactic gets back on its feet.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is episode 5 of SpaceX versus Blue Origin for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they are based on historical research. Now, if you'd like to learn more about the private space race, check out the book Rocket Billionaires by Tim Fernholz. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louis. Created by Hernan Lopez. For Wondery.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loureau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.